Yeah. Yes. Get your mother, please. How are you? I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. And have them answered immediately. Who is your daddy and what does he do? Stop whining. Stop it. Come on, don't bullshit me. Yeah. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Fat Guy Loves Cake with Joey Valentine. It is March 11th, 2024, 3/11/24. It's Monday. It's time to start a new week. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I know I did. I got a lot of work done on my YouTube channel. Just wrapped up doing a brand new video, the Watching Politically Incorrect videos, volume 19. It is my best yet. I make a killer rap song on there, rapping about a woman and how much she likes to fart and stay in her underwear. Yes, I know that sounds stupid, but it's pretty funny. As one of my best episodes yet, maybe the best episode yet. If you haven't checked it out, would you go over to the YouTube channel, the Joey Valentine channel? It's at Don't Call Me White. And if you are coming from the YouTube channel to listen to the podcast, I thank you for joining me. This is not going to be a particularly long episode. I've got three articles that I want to get to. Of course, as always, I do everything very last minute. I love the deadline, apparently. But no, it took me all night to do that video because it was so much editing in that. Plus that song, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Don't make excuses. You just get to the fucking show, right? So, hi, how are you? I hope you're all doing well. It's a little bit chilly outside for me. I don't know what it's like for you. But let's get to the articles, because like I said, I don't have a whole lot of time. Let me give you this, because why not?
I'm over here stroking my dick. I got lotion on my dick right now. I'm just stroking my shit.
All right, I don't know how many of my fans are fans of Madonna, but I'm not going to lie. I love Madonna. I mean, I love Madonna's music. I grew up on it, of course. And nothing says the 80s more than listening to Madonna. Madonna's music from the 80s. But when you hear things like Lucky Star or Who's That Girl or any of that shit, man, it's just like, for me, as a very young child in the 80s, it just like sucks me back into another time that I miss so much. When life was very, very simple and the country was in very good shape and Ronald Reagan was president and we all hated the Russians. I said this many times before, but I love Madonna. Madonna's music pre-2000, probably pre-90s as well. I don't even really know what Madonna's done since the 80s stuff, but she had a shitload of music in the 80s and it was all good. And then she started getting a little, everything changed. The 80s changed. I mean, the 80s ended, and then the 90s came, and a whole musical revolution came out of Seattle, and alternative and grunge. And so the pop itself changed, and hip-hop was finally becoming mainstream. But we're not talking about this in this episode. I love Madonna's music, but I don't care for her as a person. I think she is trashy. She's slutty, and she is obviously, I mean, I knew that this day would come where she was going to be in complete denial of the fact that she's old, she's elder, she's elding, she's oldering. I don't know Madonna's exact age, but I know that it's got to be 60-something. She was, let's see, like in 1980, she was like 20, so I don't know, add 20, yeah, she's got to be fucking 60-something. Anyway, this has nothing to do with her as a, her music, but pop star Madonna is getting completely fucking skewered online after making a massive blunder at her concert. So, video of the singer has surfaced online showing her berating someone in the crowd at her concert for not standing up. She said, "What are you doing sitting down over there?" she asked, pointing directly at the individual. "What are you doing sitting down?" she said again. Madonna strutted down the runway to get a better visual of the person, eliciting a reaction from the crowd, only to learn that the person she was speaking to was in a wheelchair, because of course she was. Why the fuck would anyone in the front row be sitting down if they paid that kind of money to see Madonna? Oh, that's because their limbs don't work. That's why, you dumb shit. Okay, she said. Politically incorrect. Sorry about that. I'm glad you're here. I mean, she caught her blunder, but it's just, right? Like, if somebody had like a fucked up face, like, what's with that mask? Hey, all 50,000 people at the concert, look and point and stare. Make them take their mask off. And, of course, now, I don't think this is, like, the biggest fucking deal in the world, okay? But it's funny. And as Twitter is to do, there's people jumping online and being like, oh, my God. Like, it's unfucking forgivable. I hate how there is, like, no forgiveness in this country. You know, there's supposed to be. Like, if you've never forgiven someone for fucking up, do you not believe that people can be reformed? Do you not believe that people make mistakes and then they actually, like, feel guilty for what they do? Because, man, if it were up to the Twitterverse, then anyone who made a mistake would just be crucified and banished to the Netherlands, whatever. You can banish me to the Netherlands. I would love to go live in the Netherlands. Lots of blondes and laws that I really, really appreciate. But here in America, you should be able to say something. And then, I mean, especially if you, like, if someone, I don't know. I mean, this is just my opinion, but, like, remember Mel Gibson when he was like, dirty, stinking Jews, I hate them all. And he got busted saying all that gnarly stuff about Jews. And he really never, like, backtracked on the fact that he's an anti-Semite. I mean, he's like a huge Jesus freak. And he, you know, he, in his eyes, it's like the Jews killed my savior. And that's really not the way to look at that situation. I mean, that was, I don't think that God would want anyone, like, blaming the Jews when God, in the scriptures, it says that Jesus came with the sole purpose of being crucified to save mankind. So the Jews were just playing a role that God had set up for them to play. And you can't blame the Jews for doing exactly what God intended for them to do. But Mel Gibson, as you can see from The Passion of the Christ, has quite the passion for the Christ. And he has a big freaking chip on his shoulder when it comes to the Jewish people. And so there was a time back when he got some slack for that, and he said some shit, and he kind of half-ass apologized. But what I'm saying is, it's like, now, Mel Gibson is still very hated because of that, but he's such a mega star with so much money and so much clout in Hollywood that he actually could stand by that. Kind of like how J.K. Rowling can continue to get on Twitter and be like, I hate transgender people and they suck and I don't like them and I want them to change and I wish they didn't exist. And yet, like, does what can anybody do? She's untouchable. The woman is worth like $1 billion. She created Harry Potter. I mean, really, she's got to be one of the wealthiest people in the world. At this point, whether you buy Harry Potter shit or not, you ain't gonna fucking, it's not gonna affect her in any way possible. There's no fucking way that you can mess with J.K. Rowling short of, like, physically doing something to her. You can't cancel this woman. I'm never watching Harry Potter again. Well, too late. You already bought the entire fucking DVD set once. You've already been to every one of the movies, and so there's been ticket sales. You've got all kinds of fan shit. You've got the Xbox games that were made for Lego Harry Potter. You are a massive Potterhead. So, like, what do you think's going to happen now that she's worth like $60 gazillion? Nothing. That's why she has the power to get on her Twitter every day and go, up yours, transgender people. I don't give a shit. And I think that's really funny, but that's really besides the point. But I was kind of trying to get to, like, hey, if someone fucks up, right? Like, if I truly believed for a while, like, that I didn't like a certain color of people, and I said something, and then it arose from the past, and then people were trying to cancel me, and then I was to legitimately get up in front of people, or, I mean, not even tweet, like, to actually get up and release, like, a video statement and say, hey, it was a long time ago, and I was hanging with people that believed that kind of thing, and I guess for a while I believed it, and then I grew up, and I matured, and I don't think like that anymore. Well, shouldn't that be enough to I mean, because no crime was committed. So shouldn't that be enough to say, all right, let's move on? I mean, because if it doesn't happen again, then the forgiveness is warranted. Now, if like a month later, you know, they're caught at a Klan rally or something, sure, now's the time to cancel them. Because obviously they didn't learn from the first time. So this canceling shit, man. You know, like this is, I don't know, I'm getting off the rails here, which is what I'm known for doing, but you can't, like, don't jump all over Madonna. Like, people get on Twitter, but I don't even know why I'm, like, complaining about it, because people get on Twitter and complain about the Wheel of Fortune, like, every fucking day. And this is reported on Fox News, like, all the time. When a puzzle is not solved by someone, like supposedly it's so easy and they fucked up, because God forbid you were put on the spot in front of a million people and you had to guess a phrase and your brain just, you know, like drew a blank. Well, you know, they get on Twitter like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Or like if somebody guessed the puzzle but they said the word incorrectly, they don't award it to them. Well, tough shit. That's the rules. And people freak out. And same thing with Jeopardy. And it's so insane. Twitter is so full of people who have no fucking lives. I get on Twitter like once a week and I kind of scroll through, like I'm following all these channels that basically show, Twitter now is a mess. Twitter is all chaos. Like it's anarchy. There are no rules. So all these channels, you can watch people get killed and shootings and beatings and like nothing's getting taken down, because apparently Elon Musk was like, when I said freedom of speech, I fucking meant it. Because nothing's getting taken down. And I'm like, wow. So that's finally I found something interesting. But I don't need to know every minute of every day of a celebrity. I think it's cool to kind of feel connected to someone that's famous. To be like, oh, you know, like Mariah Carey's taking a shit and I took a shit today too. We were like almost the same person. I guess if that's how you feel, you want to live vicariously through someone on Twitter, fine. But I don't even if people wanted to follow me on Twitter, I wouldn't be like, going to get a Subway sandwich or going to walk the dog. I wouldn't be putting that shit up. That's personal stuff, you know. I might be like, hey, ran into an old friend. He happened to be another famous person or something. You know, that's the kind of thing. I would want to give exclusive stuff to the fans. Not the stuff that fans can already do. Like, look, made an omelet today. You know, like, big fucking deal. So could all million of your fans. Make a fucking omelet. You know, you don't, like, but you guys are following these people, so, I mean, I guess the only person to blame is you, the fans. So anyway, let's just leave the old hag Madonna alone. Let's see. Let me read some of the tweets that people said. Politically incorrect isn't it either. Ableism. If I paid for a seat, I'll do what I want. Sit or stand. Concerts are exhausting, hot, etc. Nothing wrong with a break. I'm not a fan, so I would never buy her tickets. If I was a fan, I wouldn't be anymore. Ooh, ableism. Hey, if you got to sit down at a concert when you're watching a 70-year-old woman dance, then you must be pretty fucking out of shape. As a Madonna fan and a person who will likely end up using a wheelchair in the future due to balance issues, I am highly disappointed. Some people fail to realize that disabilities come in many different ways. Just shameful, they lamented. Come on. Come on. Give me a fucking break, man. You know, like, just, it's really, you know, we're making this big of a deal. She even was like, oh, oops, my bad, okay. I mean, she was just trying to get everybody on their feet, you know? And I'm, like, the last person to defend Madonna, but leave her the fuck alone, all right? She's not Michael Jackson, okay? All right, let's go ahead and move on. You know, speaking of transgender. I have a story for you that just makes me so happy, because I have been going on and on and on about how much I hate men playing in women's sports and how disgusting it is that a biological male will dress up as a woman, have a complete physical advantage over women, taking away all the hard work of women who have worked their whole lives to achieve something, taken away so easily by a man who finishes 200th when they compete against other men. Whether you like this or not, whether you agree with me, listener, biologically men are superior when it comes to physical strength. That's just the way we're built. It's not a sexist thing for me to say that. It'd be like me saying that gravity doesn't exist. I would be an idiot, because it does. All right, that's the same thing. Men are bigger and stronger. The majority of them are. And women are, you know, gentle and fragile, and they take care of their children and they've birthed children. They're supposed to be fragile, and we are supposed to protect them. We have roles, and I like those roles. We all, if you are really feel like a man, you should feel that instinct to want to take care of women. just like a woman feels the instinct to nurture her man when he needs it. So I can't stand the idea of a transgender man just being like, oh, well, I suck at my sport, so I'm going to go and I'm going to play in a woman's sport. And then they dominate, absolutely dominate and break records. Sickening to me that this happens, and then everyone turns a blind eye to it. It's not like the people are clamoring for it. Your little handful of protesters and whatnot may get into the ear of the council, and then they do something, but the fans, the families, the players, they all hate it. But if they say anything, then they get lambasted online, they get doxxed, they get assaulted, they get harassed. They get picketing outside of their houses. I mean, this is thank you, Internet. This kind of thing happens all the time. If someone, and you don't even have to say something blatant. You can just be like, I wish that we could just keep the field level. You know, I just wish that, you know, maybe we could not let men in because it just gives them an unfair advantage. Now, that's a very, an intelligent thing to say, right? Like, that's concise. It's not insulting. It's not trying to offend anyone. It's just stating your opinion. It's like being like, I love God, right? It's not like, hey, you sinner, all right? It's like, I love God, all right? Okay, I've stated my opinion. Well, if I state... Now, if you state your opinion about transgender people, you don't say you hate them. You don't say, you could say the nicest thing. You'd walk all around it, you know, with little candy shoes on and say, hey, transgender people, I'm all for you having rights and you being called by your pronouns. And I think it's great if you feel like you're a woman, you know, in a man's body and you want to explore that you have every right to do that. And I'll call you ma'am and I will call you whatever pronouns you want to be called. I just don't think that with your size and your athletic ability that it's fair for you to play against women. You see how like nice I was about that? I not only complimented the transgender person, I respectfully told them how I will abide by whatever crazy pronoun they want to be called. Yes, now I'm being disrespectful. But then just speaking up and about my rights as a woman to want to play in my sport without having someone with an unfair advantage. I mean, you're not allowed to take steroids, okay, because it's an enhancer. It gives you an unfair advantage. Well, having a shitload of testosterone also gives you an unfair advantage. So these men have been competing in sports. I've covered it before. Excuse me. I've covered it before. There's a lot of bicycling, swimming, things like that. There's even college hockey and semi-pro hockey. Men playing in fucking... Can you believe that? Hockey? This is like the most contact sport next to football. So anyway... Time and time again, organizations have backed off and been like, we'll give the transgender people whatever they want because they're so fucking afraid of being, I don't know what they're afraid of. What are they going to do? If an organization says, no, you're not allowed, what the fuck is the transgender community going to do? They make up 1% of 1% of this country. They are the tiniest, most minority group in America, and the people backing them are just crazy college students who don't have a fucking clue about life yet. The same kids that are screaming about Palestinian, like gay people talking about Palestine, like they have no fucking clue. These college kids with the colored hair and the septum rings going, oh, Palestine, free Palestine. Like, what the fuck, dude? You're gay. If you went to Palestine, they'd hang you. Like, why? What do you give a shit about these people? Okay, and you just mixed up people, and I think it really is mostly college students. People are afraid of college students. They're crazy, and everybody gets a little crazy in college. It's your time to be crazy. It's your time to explore, and everybody's a liberal in college for the most part. So these organizations are like whatever they want, and they let men change in front of women, and they're just with their dicks hanging out, and it was a big mess, you remember, with Leah Thomas, and as Riley Gaines has become a huge spokeswoman for women's rights, and she's doing a damn good job, but she goes out and gives speeches, she gets fucking assaulted by crazy transgender people who are already mentally ill, and that's, you know, she's like a big mentally ill person magnet now. Let me get to the article here before I get too lost in my own shit here. This has to do with golf. Okay, now I had read a few months ago, you know, there's a LPGA, which, believe it or not, And I have knocked women's sports a lot because, like, the WNBA is such trash, and it gets made fun of constantly by everyone because of how, like, not fun to watch it is. But this year they introduced a pro women's hockey league. Badass. I've watched it. It's fucking cool. I hope that they keep pushing it because these chicks can play. They look like they would smoke me, and I used to be really good. And then golf. I watch women's golf. They are just as talented. They just don't hit the ball as long, but the women are just as talented in golf as the men. But like I said, they can't hit the ball as far. So you got this dude who went in and, of course, pretending to be a woman, and he goes in and he fucking wins, and then he wins again, and he wins again. So here's the article. Women's Pro Golf Tour defends trans athlete ban, emphasizes need for competitive fairness in women's sports. The ban sparked outrage from trans golfer Haley Davidson, who was effectively barred from competing in future tournaments. Now, Haley Davidson is the dude that is pretending to be a woman, and Haley Davidson looks like a fucking man. Not just kind of shows masculine attributes or features, looks like a dude with some fucking old lady earrings on and some sort of women's power pantsuit. All right. It's hideous. He's not a good looking man, and he's an even uglier woman. And so the NXXT Golf Tour CEO, Stuart McKinnon, responded to backlash surrounding his decision to ban transgender athletes from the Women's Pro Tour, arguing the move ultimately came down to ensuring female athletes a right to competitive fairness on the course. The decision to ban biological males from competing in the Women's League sparked outrage from transgender golfer Haley Davidson and no one else, as you can see. And that's not what the article says, but it does not mention anyone else being upset about it at all. It sparked outrage from Haley Davidson. And then it's just, that's the end of the sentence. Not like LGBTQ advocates were, no. But see, they don't have a horse in this race, you know, like, they're going to fuck with country clubs. And we didn't make this decision lightly. We knew it was a polarizing topic and would evoke a lot of emotions from people out there. McKinnon told co-host Will Kane on Sunday, "We took a lot of time in educating ourselves, spoke to many stakeholders in the golfing community and the sporting community at large, from coaches and players and doctors and scientists, and educated ourselves." And that's how they came to that conclusion. Now, I'm surprised, to tell you the truth, that he even got this far. You have no idea how much of a wet blanket golf really is. When you want to talk about old school white fucking privilege type sport, it's golf. The fact that this even ever happened at all, that they let a man play in the LPGA, is just blowing my fucking mind. And I wanted to give you an example of why I say that. Okay. You know, Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods didn't grow up in slavery. Tiger Woods didn't even grow up when there was segregation. Tiger Woods grew up in the same fucking era that I did. And in fact, I think he may be a little younger than me. And he is, he's had all of the great things about America that you can enjoy. I never really considered him a black person. I mean, obviously he has black skin, but you look at him and he is so Asian in his eyes. And when it comes to a sport as fucking white bread as golf, with such white roots coming from white countries, I mean, born in Scotland, perfected in Europe and America, it has always been a white man's sport. Now, no one has ever had a problem with colored people coming onto the course, as far as I could tell, as long as they weren't winning. And then Tiger Woods came on, and he started fucking winning. And he started fucking winning a lot. So let me just give you a recap. This is going to blow your mind, of comments that were made about Tiger Woods when he started winning. When he came, the first time he was on a run to the Masters was in 1997. He was so far ahead of everybody that, like, there was just no fucking way anyone was going to come up on him from second. Fuzzy Zoeller. Yes, that's his real name, Fuzzy Zoeller. In 1997, he is a long, long time pro and champion. In 1997, Fuzzy Zoeller's comments are probably the most infamous of all. As Woods was rolling to his monumental win at the 1997 Masters, Zoeller, in a post-final round interview, had some interesting remarks about the 21-year-old. Okay, I'm going to read this, and I'm not going to deviate from any single fucking word. This is verbatim what he said to a camera crew at the end of the Masters tournament. He's doing well. Pretty impressive. That little boy is driving well, and he's putting well. He's doing everything it takes to win. So you know what you guys do when he gets in here? You pat him on the back and say congratulations and enjoy it and tell him not to serve fried chicken next year. Got it? Or collard greens or whatever the hell they serve. That is literally what he fucking said. And I saw it. I remember seeing it live because I used to watch the Masters every fucking year. And I remember thinking, like, did that really just happen? Like, he said all of that, and he was so pissed off when he said it, too. Like, it was coming from a real fucking place of anger. I don't know if it was a racism place, but it was definitely an anger place because probably he was losing, and he was losing to a black man. And people always go for the easy target. In 2008, Kelly Tilghman from the Golf Channel. In 2008, during a broadcast on Golf Channel with Nick Faldo, who said younger golfers were going to have to gang up on Tiger to be able to take him off his perch as best in the world, Tilghman laughingly responded that they were going to have to lynch him in the back alley. Yes, lynch him in the back alley. In case you didn't hear me the first time. In 2011, Steve Williams, at the 2011 Caddies Awards party in Shanghai after Adam Scott won the Bridgestone Invitational, Steve Williams was asked about why he called the win the greatest victory of his career. And he said, live, on camera, I just wanted to shove it up that black arsehole. I know, I'm laughing because he said arsehole, not because he said shove it up his black arsehole. Woods and Williams eventually made amends, though Woods said he was disappointed with what Williams said. In 2013, Sergio Garcia. You all know about this one. In England on Tuesday night, Garcia was asked about whether or not he would consider hosting Tiger at the this article is dated, but he said Garcia was asked about whether or not he would consider hosting Tiger at the 2013 U.S. Open. He said he would. Quote, we will have him around every night. We will serve fried chicken. Two separate fried chicken comments that were 27 years apart, but whatever. 17 years, I mean, excuse me. Fucked up, right? Like, immediately, he's not even like, he didn't come in like, he wasn't like... coming in there like the blackest motherfucking person in the world or something, you know, and like he didn't come in all hood, right? He was Tiger Woods. He might as well be white. Who gives a fuck if he's half Asian, half black? That is the whitest half black, half Asian man you'll ever meet. And he came in and he played by the rules and he talks like a dork. He's got buck teeth and he's like, huh, I'm Tiger and I'm really happy to be here. It's so great to be playing golf. Like, what are you, why would you go after the black thing? He didn't come in there and was like, yo, I'm here to play some golf, motherfuckers. Eat my black ass. Just silly. So that's what's going on in the world. So I got to wrap this up. I got to get to work. I hope you guys had a wonderful enjoyment of my show and you were educated. And God, I'm so excited about Roadhouse coming out. It's almost there. Okay, so anyway. Hug your kitty cats, slap the shit out of your children, and remember what Patrick Swayze said, or shall I say Dalton, be nice until it's time to not be nice. I'll see you guys on Tuesday.
Ooh, never thought I'd get my dick sucked. Huts!